So let's pray for her right now. Lord, I just want to lift up Ruth. You know, she's loves you, Lord, and I know you love her. So we ask that you take care of her and Bill. Just comfort them, Lord, and just let them know how much that you love them, because I know right now they're going through tough times just everywhere around. We just ask that you surround them with your love and just hold them tightly right now and just heal her up. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we are on Proverbs 31 today. And it's the last chapter of Proverbs, and it's divided into two sections. It's the words of a mother to her son, a king. I love that in the first nine verses. And then the last, from verses 10 through 31, it's the virtuous wife. And we'll take a look at that. Just what goes into a proverb? A proverb is a short, wise, easy-to-learn saying that calls a person into action. That's what it does. It calls you to do something, and it usually tells you what to do and what not to do. So we have a choice, and there's no middle ground. The key words you often see in Proverbs are understanding, knowledge, instruction, and of course wisdom. And the key verse is found in chapter 1, verse 7, and it's the controlling principle of wisdom. I'm going to read the Amplified version. The reverent fear of the Lord, that is, worshiping Him and regarding Him as truly awesome, is the beginning and the preeminent part of knowledge, its starting point and its essence. But arrogant fools despise skillful and godly wisdom and instruction and self-discipline. A proverb is found, it's considered wisdom literature. It teaches principles of wisdom. And you have to remember, these aren't necessarily absolute truths, because we live in a fallen world. But if these are practiced in general, what they say will happen. In wisdom, I love this definition. It's the ability to see life from God's perspective and then to know the best course to take. So it's basically, when you read the Proverbs, any scripture, it's getting the heart and the sight of God. We see things from His point of view and how He would look at them, with the fear or reverence for Him in obedience to His word. These provide opportunity not only to take in what God has to offer, but its repetition of concepts helps you maintain and experience what He desires for your life. And it's not to marginalize your life. That's what He doesn't want you to do, or to give it away, or sell your family, your faith, and your freedom for nothing that lasts or matters. It's fitting today, on a day where the world honors mothers, that we finish with Proverbs 31 and a mother's instructions to her son. I love that. I never noticed that until I looked at it. I'm thinking, oh, Mother's Day. I'm like, we have to get through the nine verses to get to the description of a worthy woman. But I love the first nine verses because it's a mother instructing her son, who's a king. So it's, you know, so, and I know that some of us here have kids that are older, and I know my mom still gives me instruction too when you need it. You know, we're never beyond instruction or correction. As when I was growing my long beard, and you know, it was getting long and it was making me look old, and then my mom said, "When are you going to shave that off, baby?" And I said, I knew that was the time right there, for my mom just having that little, "When are you going to do that?" And I did it pretty quick after that. And of course, Miss Peggy always told me it was my way to keep women away, which I was doing at that time too. But this is a mother's instruction to her son, a king, and a description of a virtuous wife. So before we get into these words of God, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the mothers again. And I thank you for your scripture, how it recognizes a virtuous wife and just mothers in general. Because you are a very concise and a very caring God, and you cover everything. So today, Lord, I just ask you to cover the mothers in strength, and these words that we speak lift everybody up and encourage us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So if you're not in Proverbs 31, please turn there. And just a list of things from Parenting Magazine last month. What mothers really want for Mother's Day, and this is just a short list, and they're really not going to be any, get in any length. Guess what number one is? Sleep. Number one on the list was sleep. Number two was a clean house. I don't know if that's impossible, but it's nearly impossible. Three is a spa day. That'd be a good one. A spa day. Go to the spa and have, yeah. Four is a day free from the mom routine. That'd be good. Five is getting the car washed or having it washed. Six, home delivery service. Good luck getting that here. Well, you can get stuff delivered here. Turn the honey to-do list to the honey done list. And the last one I just have on it is take care of dinner for a week, where all your dinners would be, all the food and all the preparation and everything would be done for the entire week. That's what that's a list of things mothers really want for Mother's Day. And guess what? None of them really cost a lot of money, if anything, just some time. So maybe some of these were part of your gift or some other item, but so glad you mothers are here today and children as well. Before getting into the virtues and descriptions of a worthy wife or woman, we're going to deal with some words of advice from a mother to her son. And I love this because it's to a king. It's not just to anybody, but it's to its king. So no matter what position you're in, it still shows that you're not above reproach and you need correction. And it's a very important aspect of parenting that always has a place in the life of a child. As we know that, as long as we have parents, they like to give us advice. And it's good advice most of the time. Starting out in verse 1, it says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Some say this was a nickname for Solomon that Bathsheba called him. Now there's just as much evidence for it as there is against it. So does it matter? No, because the key concept here is that the mother taught him. And this word in the Hebrew is yasar, and it means, this doesn't mean just to teach. Listen what the meaning is. It's to chasten, admonish, instruct, and to discipline. So she's just not saying, oh, king, I don't like your flower garden. There's times with this advice, and we're going to see that, it's disciplining them, saying these things, if you do them, and if you are doing them, you need to stop them because they're serious things. So there's discipline and chastening. And like I said, we're never above or beyond being taught. Even if that involves being reprimanded and disciplined, there is a purpose to learn. Just think of that. When we're learning, there's a purpose to it. You just don't learn to learn. When you go to school, you're just not learning. You just don't get a packet sometimes and say, learn. It's about turning it in and getting it done on time. There's so much more going on than just showing up at school. Number one is showing up, and number two is putting in a good effort and making it through the day. And guess what? Two more weeks, you've made it through a year. And then guess what? You get to do it again next year. But as an adult, we never stop learning, and we're never above reproach. And this word has to deal with that it's intentional and an intensive action, that it's just not casual conversation, that it's intentional and it's intensive, and it's done for a reason and is important. Look at verse 2. I love this. She says, what, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women. So right away, do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. She's saying, don't give your, which means there's a choice, and sin is a choice, and it's always weakness. But understand this, I was talking to one of my friends today from the jail. He was struggling, and he said that he was having problems with discernment, and he said, that's my greatest strength. And I said, the enemy always attacks you in your greatest strength. He doesn't attack you in your weakness. He attacks you in what you think and what is your strength, because that's where you think you're unbeatable. But that's where he'll take you to task. It's not your weakness, it's your strength. And that's, I think, the king's strength is right here, and his mom's just warning him. And it's the duty of mothers as well as fathers to teach their children what is good, that they may do it and teach them what is evil to avoid it. And there's two things which the son, the king, is warned of. First is women, the second is wine. Often they go together and get you in big trouble. And he says, don't give your strength or waste it. And like I said, sin is a choice and a weakness, and even kings must be reprimanded. The greatest of men are just men. Okay? Romans 14:11. I love this. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. And that includes the kings. The lesson, don't ever, ever think you're above reproach. Don't ever, ever think you're irreplaceable. I had a position as a vice president of a company that I own because my grandpa started, then my dad had it. I worked hard. But guys, don't ever think you're irreplaceable in any position you're in, because then you need to be replaced, okay? Nobody's irreplaceable. We all can be replaced. The world doesn't stop spinning just because we're gone. You know, it doesn't. Some people, you think that, but it doesn't. And that's what we have to remember. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. When you think you're all that, take a look, because you're standing right on a cliff without a guardrail. That's how close you are to be going over the edge. Moms and dads' advice are very often the best source of guidance or assistance, because it's given out of love and protection. And I know kids find this hard to understand, but when you're older, you understand it. Your parents give you advice because they love you, because they want to protect you. And believe me, they'd rather not discipline you, but sometimes they have to. The authority and affection of a parent can't be suspected of any ill will. It's sourced out of love. It's sourced out of love. That's why reading the Bible is so critical for your daily reading, like Bruce likes to tell us. God, this is what we need. It's God's love protecting us. It's important. And the parallel between God and his children are you and your children. You never realize this more until you have kids and realize how much you love them. God loves you 10 times so much more than that. It's unbelievable. And he's willing to do almost anything for us as we are for our kids, but there's some things we can't. But that includes letting them know what is good and evil. And that's instructing, which is moral discipline of one's life. We all need discipline in our lives. And it's not classroom instruction. It's on-the-job training. When you see the word instruction in the Bible, in Proverbs, that's what it means. It's moral instruction, but you're learning it on your own. And understanding is the capability of distinguishing between true and false, what matters most and doesn't matter at all. It's that, why I'm not going to engage this person in this because it doesn't even matter. Or God, I need that discernment to figure out what's right and what's almost right. I mean, this is a good situation, it seems like it, or not. And knowledge are the facts. And it comes alive through application. And the reality of this warning here with women and drunkenness, if allowed, it would certainly be the king's ruin. Romans 8:1-2, I'll read the Amplified. A lot of us are familiar with the verse. It says, therefore now, there is no condemnation, no guilty verdict, no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him as personal Lord and Savior. And here's one we don't read often. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has set you free from the law of sin and death. We have freedom in Christ. But there's things that we should do and shouldn't do. Need to know what is right in order to be free. Verses 4 and 5, she tells them what not to do. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Alcohol is not for people who want to make an impact. Does the Bible say we can drink? Yes. You just can't be drunk. I believe if you're in ministry, especially a pastor, you shouldn't drink at all. Why? One, you're an example. You don't want to stumble somebody. And I'm supposed to be in communication and listening to God all the time so I can protect the sheep. And if I'm out partying all the time and all of a sudden these thoughts come in and I'm drinking, it just doesn't work. That's the way the enemy comes in when you start to alter your mind. That's why they call it mind-altering substances, because you can't do that. You can't give the enemy a chance. And here she's the king. She's letting him know, you're not going to be able to provide justice to the afflicted. You're not going to be able to protect them. Way back in Deuteronomy 16:19, it says, "You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe, for bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous." And that's what happens when you are under a different substance or state of mind. It can happen. So you don't even want to go there. Verses 6 through 9, "Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more." Because what happens is when you drink, it masks and hides reality, but guess what? It's still there. You wake up, it's still there, probably worse. You have a lot less money and a big headache. But in reality, nothing's changed. Verse 8, "Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die or who are unfortunate and defenseless. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. See that they get justice." As a king and a leader, you need to see that justice is done. Because the inability to distinguish right from wrong, and those you are to lead and protect and provide for, they're the ones that suffer in the end and are wrong. Now, Ecclesiastes 10, 16, and 17 says, "Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and when your incompetent officials and princes feast in the morning." Listen to the opposite. "Blessed, prosperous, and admired are you, O Lord, O land, sorry, when your king is a man of noble birth, and your princes and officials feast at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness." For strength and not for drunkenness. The consequences, they drink away their understanding and memories by which they are to govern. And what's the harm? Back to verse 7. Altering reality masks but doesn't change facts. They're still there, and they result in a bitter heart and a hard heart that drifts out of touch from God. That's what happens. You drift out of touch from God. He seems so distant when in reality he's right there, but you can't see that because you've partaken in a different lifestyle that's taken you away from him. Now, the virtuous wife, or the description of a worthy woman. And this is from the Life Application Study Bible. I want to read this introduction. Proverbs has a lot to say about women. How fitting that the book ends with a picture of a woman of strong character, great wisdom, many skills, and great compassion. Some people have the mistaken idea that the ideal woman in the Bible is retiring, servile, and entirely domestic, and that's just not right. This woman is an excellent wife and mother. She is also a manufacturer, importer, manager, realtor, farmer, seamstress, upholsterer, and merchant. It's quite the resume. Her strength and dignity do not come from her amazing achievements. They are a result of her reverence for God, going back to Proverbs 1:7. In our society, where physical appearance counts for so much, it may surprise us to realize that her appearance is never mentioned. Her attractiveness comes entirely from her character. Isn't that the way? Don't you just love when you're attracted or you're brought together by somebody by their character, not by their looks? If you're reading through the Bible right now, what did it say about Saul when he appointed him as king? It said he looked like a king. He was 6'6", something like that. He stood above everybody. But what happened to his character? He was a man who never gave his heart to God. Never gave his heart to God. His character, and everybody saw it except for him. I mean, he tried to pin David to the wall twice. I mean, David was a musician. His music couldn't have been that bad, you know. And he hunted him for years. But this is a composite picture of ideal womanhood. Don't see her as a model to imitate, as there are not enough hours in the day, but as an inspiration. And that's what we should all inspire, to be righteous. You cannot be just like her, but everyone, men included, can learn from her industry, be intentional with discipline, integrity, and resourcefulness, because everything wrapped into this everything is wrapped into this concept of virtue. And this, look at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife or capable wife? For her worth is far above rubies. This word virtue means moral excellence, goodness, and righteousness. Confidence of one's life and conduct to moral and ethical principles, approved and acceptable to God. That's what virtuous means. Approved and acceptable to God. Not to anyone else, not to the world's standards, to God. And it's sourced from sanctification, being set apart for God, being made more like Him. And it can't divert from the source. And it comes out of righteousness. This concept that we looked at last week of the Greek diakeos, wholly conformed to the will of God. That's what righteousness is. Keeping the commands of God. We see this word a lot, righteousness. What is righteous? See, righteousness. Keeping the commands of God. Conformed to the will of God. We're conformed to something, right? Today we're kind of conformed to Mother's Day. I don't say we're transformed by it, but we're conformed to it. You know, but we're conformed by society. We fit into these things, but we want to be approved and acceptable to God. Look at verse 11. The heart, I love this, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. And this is important because it's just not the husband trusts her, it's his heart. And this is an important trait because it puts no financial pressure on her husband. She doesn't expect him to earn more so she can have more. And that's what this means. She's not out there saying, honey, I need another car. Well, dear, you have three. I need another car. Go get another job. No, that's not what I love it because the heart trusts in her. He knows that she wouldn't do that. He knows. He doesn't have to look after her. He doesn't have to troll her Facebook, hack into her Facebook to make sure she's not doing this or doing that or doing anything. You know one thing? Don't even have Facebook.
Amen.
You know, I have it, so I'm not. But no one has to troll mine. Not very exciting. You can get on there and look. But you know what? The trust is an important thing, and it goes down to the heart. Verse 12, she does him good. I love this. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She's a continual asset to her husband all the days of her life. Don't you want to say that about your wife? You have such a... She's just an asset to you. You can just count on her. You know you're there. That poor wife has to drive to Gillette there and back every day to teach kindergartners. They can drive 100 miles out of the way not to. But it's almost done, and it's the Lord blesses us for that, though. He really does. Verses 13 through 15. Look at all of these descriptive. Look at all these action words. Look at, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships and brings her food from afar, and also rises while it is yet night, and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She's planning these activities, seeking, working, preparing, getting up early to accomplish. The virtue doesn't happen by accidents. Excellence just doesn't happen. Okay? You have to work at it. Some people say, I want to get out of college. You know, Bruce said, the kids graduated, now they have to do something. A lot of kids, I want a job, I make $70,000 a year. Wouldn't that be great? Guess what? You have to work to get those jobs. Yeah. You have to work. Yeah. But if they get one, let me know where they're getting them, because that'd be a great job. But you know what? It takes preparation, searching out, doing and sharing, confidence of one's life and conduct to moral and ethical principles. And rewards are realized when righteousness of God is obeyed and observed and kept. That's the thing, when you observe and obey principles of the Bible, there are rewards. But you fall away from them, there's punishment. And some people don't understand that. You know, they say, well, how could this have happened to me? It's like, guys, have you looked at your life lately? How could it not have? You know, but we have to realize that's why it's important to read these things. And you have to love the picture of the description of the worthy woman, all the things she's doing. Verses 16 through 19. She considers, so she thinks there's thought involved. She considers a field and buys it, and from her profit, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength. She's not afraid of hard work and strengthens her arms. And this word strength means to wrap. It means to wrap. So as she's considering a field, she buys it. She gets money. She profits from it. She thinks out the plan. And she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arm. She wraps up and goes in this. It kind of compels her, this profit and this planning. It propels her on. And she perceives that her merchandise is good. It's that ability, that discernment. And her lamp doesn't go out by the night. It shines so bright that everybody sees it. People see her character. They're drawn to her. Her lamp does not go out by the night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff. Means she's spinning yarn. I think that's right. And her hand holds the spindle. Joyce is shaking her head, so I got that right. I know I had to look up that word distaff. I'm like, what is that? It's like to spin yarn or something like that. But I love this because a worthy woman is not afraid of work, and neither should anybody else be. When we keep God in his proper condition, we don't exchange the truth for a lie. And that's what this does. When we keep our spiritual, physical health in the proper condition, we're not so willing to exchange a truth for a lie. Because that's all the enemy loves to do. You know, what had happened in the garden? Did God not say? Just shifting the truth a little bit, and before you know it, it's an absolute lie. It's an absolute lie. Verse 20, virtue in action. She extends her hand to the poor, yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. Hard work provides, although here it is seen extending and helping others who need it. Don't you love it when you can give stuff away? When you can help somebody out? I think it's a great feeling. Even if it might be your last 10 or 20 bucks. And a lot of us do that here. You know, here, just take it. You know, just take it. You see the guy in the road. You walk by somebody. You see a brother or sister who just needs some money. You just know it. You say, here's some money. You just bless them with it. And it's a great feeling. It's that when you get, when you start making money for the first time, I know Molly will get a check. She just got a job at the dog pound, so go visit her. She ate a lot of extra ice cream yesterday. I don't know. She touched and made hamburger patties, and she hates that. But you know what? When she gets that first check, she's going to be like, wow, it's money. It's meaningful. It means something. It makes you feel like you're contributing. And then when you give money away, you're advancing God's kingdom. That's part of tithing. We're just giving money back to God that he's letting us use. And that's where the beauty comes in. Acts of mercy out of gratitude. That's what draws people in. And when you do that, people see that. It just kind of, it's that light that goes out from you. It's that light, and people are drawn in by that. Verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household. I'm glad, because I don't like it. For all her household is clothed with scarlet. And what this means is storms will come physically and spiritually. Her household is prepared for storms that come. And she's not afraid. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Verse 22, she makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple, which speaks of majesty, and it's the beauty of modesty, what they're talking about here. You don't have to be all dressed up in the nicest of nicest of nicest and tons of makeup on to be beautiful. There's beauty in modesty. There's beauty in modesty, and it goes a long way. I think there's a whole lot of immodesty these days, but I'm not even going to go there because we could be on that for a long time. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. John Corson had this to say. The gate was where the leaders of the cities would sit. Back in this time frame. Over the years, he said, I have known a number of gifted brothers who were disqualified from ministry or who left ministry solely because their wives weren't supportive. The husband of a virtuous woman, however, can be involved in leadership because she sets the stage for that to happen. And I've known a couple of my good friends that left ministry because their wives weren't supportive. They weren't supportive. You know, one of the first things I asked my ex-wife when we were doing all these, moving out of Wisconsin and doing this calling of God was, is God saying the same thing to you? Are you okay with this? And she said, yes. Well, somewhere down the line, I think that changed to a no, because she's no longer here. But you know what? That could have taken me, it could have been very easily where I wouldn't be here anymore because of that. Right here, because of that, because there was no stage setter for me. There was no stage setter for me. Now I have that. You know, and it makes things so much easier. You know, I tell people this, but 6 months after Tammy left, every Sunday before I came here, I cried. Every Sunday for 6 months. It was all I could do to get here. And I'm not making that up. It was all I could do to get here. But I did. Because I knew God would get me here. But it was hard. Because I had no stage setter. But God loves, guys, you have to realize this. God loves to set the stage for us. But a lot of times it's tough. It's almost like in the old days when they put chicken wire in front and your acts were that bad where people would throw stuff at you. You know, sometimes the enemy will want to do that, but he sets the stage. He's like, you got to get out there and do it anyway. Because nothing will come out of you until you participate according to what he desires. He sets the stage, and a lot of times you're like, I don't like the way that looks, or that audience looks pretty rough, or this is going to be really hard. And times will be hard, but you have to stick with him and go through it. And that's why marriage and having a great wife, husband, kids, it all comes together. And when the enemy starts breaking that apart, it gets messy and hard because it's not meant to be that way. But that doesn't mean that you can't move on from there. I'm a perfect example from that right now. Verse 24 through 26. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Here's that word strength again. And it comes with a different word. Strength and honor are her clothing. So now she's not only girding herself, wrapping in strength, but honor. And it's not something she says, I'm going to do this because I want to be strong and wrap myself and build myself up and to honor myself. It's something that comes as you do these things and you don't even know it. These are one of those things you that come alongside of you and are one of your attributes as you do them. And it says, she will rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Goes a lot of ways. When you're speaking in wisdom and kindness, wisdom and kindness go a long way. With all self-discipline, skills, hard work, and wisdom, this woman shows, one could think she would be judgmental of others, but on the other hand, her speech was characterized by kindness. She never belittled anybody. It was kindness. She could be the wealthiest woman in the world, and she's treating everyone as an equal. That's what makes her worthy. Back to verse 25, it just says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in times to come. I think of Isaiah 26:3, where it says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. It's that perfect peace. It's that honor and strength. And it's a result of relationship that follows God. And there's no other way to obtain it. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. You know what that word means, idleness? It's gossip. She doesn't partake in gossip. That's what that means. Why? Why? That's what I have to say. If it's not true, kind, or necessary, don't say it. I was using that the other day. I use that a lot this week. I'm like, well, that's something really cool to say. And I'm like, bah, but it's not really necessary. It's true. It's kind of kind, but it's not necessary. If it's not true, if it's not kind, or if it's not necessary, if it violates any three of those, just, and there's a lot of them every day you'll come across there. True, kind, and necessary. Verse 28 and 29. Her children rise up and call her blessed or favored. Hopefully they did that today. Maybe not. Her husband also, and he praises her. And listen to what the husband says in verse 29. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Her husband praises her. He says, you excel them all. Husbands, let your wives know how much she means, not only to you, but to everybody. All the time. All the time. It doesn't have to be with flowers, although that helps. Sometimes they might think there's an ulterior motive if you don't do it a lot. But guys, just spoil them. If they appreciate it, spoil them. That's what I have to say. Even kids, I say, I don't mind spoiling kids if they appreciate it. But if they're not thankful for it, forget it. Verse 30 through 31, just finishing this up. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman, you got to love this, it goes back to Proverbs 1:7, at the very beginning of Proverbs. But a woman who fears the Lord, respects him, has reverence for him, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own work praise her in the gates publicly. Let her own works lift her up. The controlling principle of wisdom is what lifts up and draws attention. And the key is it will happen if Jesus is followed. You say, how can I witness to people? How can I let people know the God I serve? I say, just follow him and respect him and his laws, and people will notice over time that you are different, that you're a Christian, that your relationship with Christ matters. These words to a king, descriptions of a worthy wife, are for all of us. Because God's word includes love, service, honesty, integrity, and prayer. But most of all, think of this, guys. Think of this. It includes all of you. It includes all of you. All the time. It's instruction and description from discipline, which is virtue. And it's all sourced from the Almighty God. Once again, virtue means that it's that moral excellence, goodness, and righteousness, the confidence of one's life and conduct to moral and ethical principles. And it's from a God who cares, is alive. He deals from the most believable love, and it speaks, protects, and covers. God's word is theoretical. And if you read it like that, it's not going to go very far. But the power comes when it's experiential. I think I said that right. Which means that as you take this word and you put it in your heart and you apply it to your life, that's where the power comes from. If you just read it as just something other than God's word and just an abstract just document, it's not going to mean anything. But when you get with the Holy Spirit, and the power is found in living it and applying it to your lives. So just remember that. Just these instructions at the end of a book given to a king, description of a worthy woman or wife and mother, are important things not only then but for now. Very practical and very purposeful from a God who loves us and cares. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you once again for your word and just this book of Proverbs that we've looked at and that we're able to finish here in chapter 31 on Mother's Day. It's such a blessing. It's such an honor to serve you. And Lord, it's such an honor to be called your children, and you're our Father. I ask that you just strengthen us, that you give us the ears to hear, that we remain teachable, that even though we're not perfect, Lord, that we strive for those goals that you set for us, that stage that you set. And Father, just fill us with the strength to accomplish those things. The wisdom not to speak and say the things we shouldn't. And Lord, the ability to say and do those things that we need to. I just pray once again for the mothers. Lord, just give them a double blessing of a restful, beautiful day. And Lord, just let them know how much they're loved and their work is appreciated through their kids, and that their lamp would always shine just for you and for the others, Lord, who need you. Lord, we just thank you for all things, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.